Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, December 18th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for having us. Good
awesome. To be here. Awesome. So glad you're here. And John Martellaro, I'm really happy you're here. How are you?
I am happy that you're happy that I'm here. And good morning.
Good morning. I'm also really happy that VideoBlocks is our sponsor today. They're the company that makes all kinds of great video, audio, and image stock content at a crazy reasonable price. I've been using their service for a little while now, and I'll tell you about that soon. But first, John, you think that now that the iMac Pro is available for order, that this signals a new wave of Macs coming? What exactly are you thinking?
Well, I started thinking about how we think about the Macintosh lineup these days. And in my readings, I kind of got the feeling that people were a little bit down on the iMac Pro because it was expensive and not upgradable and not targeted at the right audience, all of which is wrong. We talked about that last week.
It is not upgradable. That is not wrong. That is factual.
Brian actually talked about how it turns out. Criticism of the iMac. And then we don't yet have a 2018 Mac Pro, so we don't know what that's going to be like, except we know it's going to be modular and upgradable and probably very expensive. And there the discussion ends. Well, Apple's a very big company, and they're going to be around for a long time. So it started me thinking about the future and how this is all going to pan out and why Apple came up with the iMac Pro in the first place and the renaissance of the Macintosh line and Apple's new attention to the Mac. And I started thinking in my mind about how this is just probably a first salvo in rethinking the Macintosh lineup, because Macs kind of lingered for a while. And my suspicion is that Apple has woken up to the idea that there's much to be gained from having powerful desktop Macs for developers and scientists and engineers and technical professionals and creative professionals. And the iMac is probably just the beginning of a new wave of Macs. For example, the Mac Mini has been lingering for a while, and the Mac Pro
is so gracious and polite. But yes.
So the Mac Pro is going to be our headless Mac for the high-end professionals. What if Apple were to come out with a low, medium-end Mac Mini that's extraordinarily powerful, but very affordable? You know, something like a $1,200 or $1,500 Mac Mini. That's, oh my God, cool looking, like the Z2 Mini from Hewlett-Packard. That's, oh my God, fast and headless and kind of fleshes out the product line. What if Apple starts folding in the new generation? What comes after Kaby Lake? I was trying to remember this morning. There's another generation.
I don't remember, but yes, you're right. There's something after Kaby Lake.
That allows 32 gigabytes of RAM and low power mode. So I'm thinking that we're going to see a new generation of Mac Pros, MacBook Pros with 32 gig of RAM. Probably going to see a refreshed iMac to take some of the heat off the expensiveness of the Mac Pro. And then we've got the iMac. So what I'm sensing here is that there's going to be an evolution throughout the year as Apple one by one checks the boxes and refreshes the entire Mac lineup.
So and are you thinking that 2018 is the year of the Mac?
Yeah, I am, because right now people were just kind of, you know, criticizing the iMac Pro a little bit, kind of mumbling a little bit about the Mac Pro and not kind of looking at the big picture about Apple as a corporation and how they wouldn't have done an iMac Pro like this if they weren't really thinking that it's time to really put some hardware out there that can blow people away. And I was particularly pleased with an article by Matthew Panzerano at TechCrunch, who said that Apple messaging at the meeting he had, the presentation on the iMac, was absolutely clearly a love letter to developers. Most of the Mac and iOS developers I know use iMacs or MacBook Pro, especially given the limited nature of the 2013 Mac Pro as it exists now. So if you're a developer and time is money, this is the machine for you also.
All right, Brian, so you have been openly critical of the iMac Pro, and I'm curious...
Wait, one aspect of the iMac Pro.
Yeah, okay, totally fair. Yes, you've been openly critical of one aspect of the iMac Pro, and I'm curious how, first, what you're thinking about what John is saying as far as where the iMac fits in, the iMac Pro fits into the lineup, but also... I want to know if you see 2018 as the year of the Mac.
It could be. I mean, you know, we don't know for sure that the Mac Pro is going to come out in 2018. I mean, like, you know, there are many signs that Apple. Wait, I gotta back up like multiple steps. 2016 sucked balls. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We had 14 new products from Apple all year. And, you know, the MacBook Pro languished, the MacBook languished, the MacBook Air languished, the Mac Mini languished, the iMac languished, you know, like just nothing was getting iterated. And then 2017, we got all kinds of fun things at WWDC, and we got MacBook Pros updated after only, 9 months? So that's a fantastic sign.
Mm-hmm.
We had the iMac Pro announced, and then it sort of shipped. Doesn't actually ship, does it?
It's available for order with delivery on the 27th.
And yeah, okay,
that's
right.
When it's supposed to be in the stores also.
So it'll you know, ship this year. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, and we had the iMac the Mac Pro teases. So there's a lot of things that suggest that Apple either realized that it was asleep on the job when it came to the Mac, or, as has been my theory for a while, that Apple Park was apparently too much of a distraction for Apple to be able to handle. And now that that's over with, you know, the everybody's getting back to the business of iterating products. But either way, yeah, we've had a lot of good signs, but we don't know if the Mac Pro is going to ship in 2018.
That's true. I do not know that.
I hope that it does. And to John's point, we could indeed see updated MacBook Pros, and yes, they could.
Coffee Lake is the next generation.
Coffee Lake?
Yes.
And they could have the next generation of processors. Yeah, having an update after only 9 months is just super exciting, and I hope that is a sign of things to come. And but you know, like the Mac Mini does continue to languish. If Apple changes that, then I guess that could.
I think that Mac Mini is a real opportunity for Apple.
I hope it's an opportunity they take advantage of, because. It's a computer that fits into a part of the market that that they're just not addressing anymore. Yes. And yes, I know you can buy a Mac Mini today, but I don't think that qualifies as addressing that space anymore.
No, it's old. It's just old.
Yeah, it's old technology.
It's old.
I remember the reaction when I reviewed the Hewlett Packard Z2 Mini was. Oh my goodness. Can I put Mac OS on that? So there's, I think, technical enthusiasm for a computer like that. That's really cool looking and very powerful.
So John, I am willfully optimistic, and John is eternally optimistic.
And I'm willfully optimistic with you, Brian.
But I'm not actually over. I we've seen good signs, but we don't have enough information to know if they were blips, right? Statistical blips, or if they are a sign of things to come. We don't know yet.
Right. So 2018, I think, is going to be the year where we find out if they were blips or if this is just the beginning of a renewed life for the Mac.
Right. 2018, yeah. Yeah, and it could be the year of the Mac.
I hope
I'm hoping. I just...
You know what would be awesome? Would be if Apple releases so many cool new things that my MacBook Pro, which is a year old right now, if I was feeling really bad about buying it when partway through 2018, like the new Macs that come out are so good that I'm having new Mac envy. I would be willing to take that one for the team.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think one of the strides that Apple's going to be making in 2018 with the Macs is security. I think we're going to see Macs that can have the same kind of hardware encryption key that so that when you erase the hardware key, it erases the entire Mac. I think we'll see Face ID. I think we'll see more physical layers to bring the Macintoshes more in line with the iPhone technologies that we're accustomed to.
I need to edit something that I said earlier. Earlier in this very show, I made note of the fact that John is eternally optimistic, and, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to have to shift that to blithely optimistic.
Yeah, I'll
I mean, we just came off like the two worst security nightmares in all of computing, and John's like, oh yeah.
Let me give some color on that. I had an interesting background mode recording recently. I won't reveal who the guest is yet, but he reminded me that Apple's had these snafus in the past. Remember, there was the infamous system update, macOS 10 update of around the Jaguar era, where an error in a Perl script erased your hard disk.
Oh yeah,
remember that one?
Oh, good times. Yeah,
yeah. And he listed a few others, and his response was, you know, don't forget about the others. This has happened before, and it happens to all companies. So that was an interesting perspective from my guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And VideoBlocks, what they do is they put together these really great databases or catalogs of stock video, stock audio, and stock image content so that you don't have to go hunting for all the content you need for your business projects or whatever projects you have. And so you don't have to go and pay a crazy price and then potentially pay additional royalties on top of that just to use whatever images or video or audio you need in your projects. So I love that what they've done is put together really good quality content. They've made it easy to search. So like for me, when I've been looking around for different short video clips that I need, I can just go and look for exactly what I want. So let's say like I decided I wanted to find snowy mountains in Colorado. I can search for that and then get all of these videos listed. But then they give me these nice little subcategories as suggestions. So I can just click on one and then see a much smaller selection that's refined based on just exactly what it is that I want. So instead of having to go through, say, 50 or 100 videos, I now suddenly have 10. And that's great because I can just look at them all right there. Yep, that's the one I want. Download it and start using it. And great quality. So, I mean, you can even get 4K. So if you're doing 4K video projects and you need some extra stock footage, this is a really great and inexpensive way to do it. They charge $149 a year for the different services. So like if you want video, $149 a year. Audio, same thing. Images, $149 a year. But here's what they're doing, because all of you listen to Daily Observations, and thank you for doing that. They've put together a special offer that I can give to you. So regularly $149 for unlimited access to one of the services, but through the end of December, so just a couple more weeks, you can get the triple bundle offer. And so with the triple bundle, you get access to the video, audio, and images, all three, for just $149 for the whole year, and that includes unlimited downloads. And yes, everything is royalty-free. So to get my triple bundle special offer, you need to go to videoblocks.com/TDO. And don't wait, because the offer is available only in December. So if you procrastinate, you're going to miss out, and then you're going to feel sad for the rest of the year, just like I may feel sad about buying my MacBook Pro. So that's videoblocks.com, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. Thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. Okay, so Brian, you found out, or you caught the news at the end of last week that Ronald Moore.
God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Ronald D. Moore, squeeze!
So say we all.
So say we all.
It's kind of hot in here. I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah. So Apple has signed its third scripted show under Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg. Mm-hmm. And it's a sci-fi space drama from Ronald D. Moore, whom you might remember from Battlestar Galactica, the reboot. Mm-hmm. A little show called Star Trek Next Generation. He also did some Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
And Caprica, which I thought was a really good series.
I loved Caprica. I loved Caprica, actually. Was very bummed when it didn't last. He has also been involved in Outlander, for you romance fans out there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think he actually may be a co-producer of Outlander.
Okay. I've actually seen a few episodes of Outlander. And
I have people in my life who are very, very keen on Outlander.
Well, it's because of people in my life that I've watched some of Outlander. And yeah, it's really kind of interesting.
I am honestly looking forward to watching it because of all the squeeing I hear from other folks.
Understandable. But and your squee was totally appropriate, because the idea of Ronald Moore having free reign for a sci-fi series through Apple is really exciting.
It is very, very exciting. So this is the third show, right? Because the first one was some fella named Stevie Spielberg.
Oh yeah, the Jaws guy. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah, keep your eye on that guy. He's gonna make something. He's going to go somewhere. I've got good feelings about that guy. But he's doing a reboot of Amazing Stories for Apple,
which is also squee-worthy.
Yes, and Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are doing a drama
about a news morning show.
I think it's might be kind of like a dramedy.
Yeah, maybe. I've
not heard positive drama on that, but it's a morning talk show circuit thing that they're doing. And then, but I am the most excited about this show. That we don't have a title yet. We don't know specifically what it's about, but, it's a space drama.
So Brian, here's what this says to me. Mm-hmm. This says that Apple is serious about being in the original content game, and that all these concerns that people have had that Apple's not going to be able to pull this off, that it's just going to be more and more Planet of the Apps shows. People were getting their panties in a bunch over nothing. Apple brought the right people on board, and the potential is high.
Well, let me actually offer a slightly more seasoned view on that.
Okay.
Because I think everybody had their panties in a bunch because Planet of the Apps was kind of awful. And the Carpool Karaoke spinoff was lackluster.
It was hit and miss. Some of the episodes I thought were so much fun, and others, it was like a very long 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, forced. They felt forced. And what I actually really think that was is I'm going to blame Tim Cook on that for wanting it family friendly. And I think that the edits were forced, but I didn't see the original cut, so I don't really know that for sure. But those were programs that were done under Apple's tech leadership.
Yes.
Right? I mean, those were essentially done under Eddie Q. And God bless Eddie Q. Dude has done a whole lot for Apple, and he's made a lot of things Apple for Apple. happen for Apple.
Yeah,
Apple. I don't know what
he's
Apple
no,
for Apple.
He's no television content producer.
But he apparently, apparently, he's not necessarily a TV exec. But Apple identified that. So like those complaints, I think were on were reasonable.
Sure.
And but what Tim did is he said, okay, well, apparently we need to do this differently, and here's a whole crap ton of money. So let's go hire some people and give them a huge budget and let them do what they need to do. And what I am hoping, and I talked about this a little bit on Pop.0 with John Key, what I am hoping is that what we're seeing happen in TV is not a sign of Apple losing its way from away from its technology roots, but is instead Apple doing what it should be doing as this gigantic multinational, massively profitable corporation. And that's giving executives free rein to do what they need to do.
I hope that's exactly what's happening. And based on what we're seeing right now, I'm thinking that's the case.
Well, it's definitely, I think it's, it seems to, I believe it's objectively the case with TV. Now, the question is whether or not the same thing can happen with Apple's product lines, the ones that most of us listening to this and talking, the three of us and most of our listeners care most about, which are, you know, Macs, iPhones, and iPads, and maybe Apple Watch and the hardware stuff, right? That's where we want that same sort of, like, you know, people being free to get things done,
mm-hmm,
kind of attitude. And we don't have enough evidence to know of whether or not this more free flowing structure is limited to TV, or if we're going to be seeing examples of that happening with the rest of Apple too.
What makes me enthusiastic is the three we've seen so far, the three projects, really kind of make me happy about my hopes that the vision would be a lot of fun and high quality and not so depressing and violent and
wait, hold on. Did you catch that we're talking about Ronald D. Moore?
Well, yeah, I know, but I've watched every Battlestar Galactic episode, and if you do something like that again, yeah, that's a super
uplifting and you know.
Yeah, well, that was yeah. You know, we talked about this before with the morning TV show drama. You can't have a show like that without the realities of what goes on in behind the scenes. But
I'm not complaining. I'm just sensing
that we're looking at something that's going to be fun to watch as opposed to dreary and unwholesome.
Well, my guess is you'll be seeing for yourself pretty soon, since Apple has signed these deals and they'll probably have stuff in production very soon.
Whoa, back off. I mean, like,
I'm going to think positive here. And
the show doesn't have a title. We're not.
I'm not talking about Ronald Moore's show. I'm talking about the Steven Spielberg thing and the Jennifer Aniston
Witherspoon thing. Well, be a year or more in development.
Oh,
we are early days in this stuff.
Well, in television and entertainment terms, that soon.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm looking
at the article I read about the Ronald D. Moore project had some more color. It was about what would have happened if the Cold War in space had never ended.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
All right. Hey, we are out of time. So we have to wrap
up. By the way, that certainly sounds like a really happy and uplifting topic, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, I mean, you know, Star Trek had its share of drama and conflict, but Star Trek was always fun to watch too.
I think you guys missed the part where I said the show's over. All right. I'll make it clear. Wow. We're out of time. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Good stuff.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was fun.
And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO. Take advantage of that triple bundle, $149 for their video, audio, and image services, royalty-free, all you can download for a whole year. But you have to do it before the end of December, so you've only got a couple weeks left. Don't procrastinate and miss out. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.